We are going to also be concluding our series that we kind of do, goes kind of with our series, or goes with our 21 days of prayer called Seek and Find. And we've been looking at different things throughout these 21 days. And the verse that we've kind of been using throughout our 21 days has been found again in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13. It says this: "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." And it's been such an amazing promise and such an amazing thing. And I want to tell you, Pastor Renee kind of brought it up. Maybe during this 21 days of prayer and fasting, the things you have been praying for, the thing you have been looking for God to do, maybe God hasn't done it yet. And that could be a little disappointing, and I understand that. But I want you to remember two things. Number one, it's about God's timing. Sometimes we pray for things that we want God to do, and God says, you know what, absolutely, I am going to do that, but I'm going to do it when the timing is perfect. And we can always trust God's timing. And the second thing is this, we talked about it last week a little bit, there is no expiration date on your prayers. And so when you pray, it's not like God says, well, you know, if I don't do it during this time, I'm never going to do it. It is going to come to pass. I truly believe that. And I think it's going to come to pass very soon for a lot of these things. But we'll just trust the Lord on His timing. But we've been looking at that promise. And today, obviously, as we kind of conclude all of these things, again, I want to remind you about fasting, that we didn't do this so that basically, you know, so we could force God's hand or whatever. And I want to remind us one more time as we kind of concluding that fasting is not us getting more of God's attention, but Him having more of ours. That's what this time has been about in so many ways, is about us being able to take our attention and to focus it in on the Lord. But here's the deal. Now that we're literally at day 22, I want to help us to say, okay, where do we go from here? What do we do now? Because obviously, anytime that you do something like a prayer and a fasting time or a focus on that, sometimes when you come down off of that situation, it's almost like, okay, what do we do now? How do we handle this now? What do we do from basically day 22 and beyond? Because here's the deal. Hopefully, during this 21 days, you have begun to form some new habits, some new focuses, some new things in your life. Maybe there's some things that you cut out during this time, so you could say more of a focused yes to Jesus. And I want to say this to you, and I say this every year. Please do me a favor. Make sure that when you kind of go, okay, it's day 22, now I'm going to move back into these things. Make sure you're asking the Lord, listen, Lord, do you want me to move back into these things? Because sometimes God will use these 21 days to help us see, you know, those things that you said no to, you need to continue to say no to because I have something better for you. So don't just say, oh, it's day 22, I'm going to go back and do this or do that. Maybe stop and just say, you know what, Lord? This has been a great time and a special time, and I don't want to just run back into something that maybe you're saying this isn't what's best. So spend some time with the Lord. Ask Him, what would you have me do? How would you want me to continue in to this day 22? But this morning, what we're going to be talking about is something that for me, I believe is non-negotiable when it comes to what day 22, day 23, day 24, day 342 will look like in your life and should look like throughout your time. Because here's the deal. As we focus more on God, as we have kind of said no to some things to say yes to Him, I pray that your excitement, your spiritual zeal, your spiritual desire to know more and more of God has grown and grown and grown. And in fact, Paul kind of mentions this, kind of encourages us as he encourages the people in Rome with this verse in Romans 12, 11. He says, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." And it's interesting because during 21 days, you know, it's like you kind of got that focus and you're kind of doing this. Maybe you haven't been coming to Wednesday night prayer all the time, but now you're like, boy, that's really good. And I really want to continue that. And it's kind of one of those interesting things. Paul is kind of looking at us and saying, listen, you need to always be excited about what God is doing in you and through you. You need to always have a desire to grow and know Him more and more and more. And here's the thing. Sometimes we know that. But how do we actually do that? How do we actually allow that zeal and that spiritual fervor serving the Lord to really come forth in our lives? And this morning, as we look at day 22, as we look at day 24, as we look at day 32, I want to give you some tools to help you and me to do that. So the question that we have, that we need to talk about, that will then move into some application is simply this: how do we maintain this spiritual zeal and cultivate a discipline of prayer? How do we do this? Because here's the deal. This is prayer and fasting. Now, here's what's interesting about prayer and fasting when you do that. A lot of people will focus in on the fasting part, as they should, because that is something that's a little different. It's something that is a little bit more intense in some ways. But listen, the prayer part is just as important. I would say maybe even more so. So even though now maybe you're saying, okay, maybe the fasting time is over, the prayer time should just be beginning. And one of the ways that you're going to continue to grow, you're going to continue to allow that spiritual zeal to come out in your life, is to have a prayer life that matches that type of situation. Now, here's the deal. When we talk about prayer, it's real easy to go, okay, man, listen, Aaron, are you going to talk about literally the real simple things? Yes, I am. You know why? Because I find that we're not always really good at the real simple things. We like to think about other things, and sometimes the question is what's your prayer life like? Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, if you come to me and talk to me about certain things, one of the main questions I'm gonna ask you is, what's your prayer life like? Have you prayed about it? Have you sought after the Lord? Have you allowed Him to speak into your life? Because that is one of these things that I believe, obviously, God is not saying no to, okay? Maybe you say, you know, I'm going to spend a little less time surfing the internet or being on social media or watching a news program or being on Netflix or whatever so that I can spend more time in prayer. I'm going to tell you right now, if you pray to God and say, should I continue that type of lifestyle? He's going to say, yes. So just because 21 days are over doesn't mean that this part of our growth is over. We're going to look at Psalms 109. It's a great verse. David here is expressing some things to help us to see kind of how all this is going to fit together. So if you have your Bible, Psalms 109, we're going to look at verses 1 through verse number 4. David is speaking here. He says this. He says, be not silent, O God of my praise, for wicked and deceitful mouths are opening against me, speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate and attack me without cause. Look at verse number 4. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer. Linda, if you would you keep that up there for a second? Let's look at this together. Let's break this verse down a little bit, because it's interesting that David kind of is sharing some of these things with us this morning. He kind of says this idea of, listen, God, I need you to listen to me. God, I'm kind of going through some stuff. Listen, so God, I'm going to call out to you. And what's great is we already read in Jeremiah, when we call out to God in prayer, He will listen. So David's listening. He said, listen, will you listen? Hear me. Speak to me, God. And one of the great things about prayer that I hope is a part of your prayer life is not just you speaking, but you listening. One of the most important parts of prayer is for you to kind of allow God to speak to you. Prayer is a conversation, and God wants to speak. And so he says, listen, speak to me, God. Don't be silent. Share your heart with me as I call out to you. And then he says this. He says, the wicked and the deceitful mouths, they're speaking against me. They're lying about me. They're encircling me. They're attacking me without cause. They're for the love I'm giving them, they're accusing me. And so basically David spends a little bit of time saying, listen, look what everybody else is doing. Look how they're treating me, God. Look what they're doing to me. Look at all that is happening. But then David makes a very interesting comment at the end of verse number 4. He says, but I give myself to prayer. I give myself to prayer. He says, listen, I understand that everybody else is doing all these other things, but I'm going to pray. It's an amazing statement, because here's the deal. I don't know about you, but I think we all sometimes deal with some of the same things that David deals with. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when that happens, I don't become a person of prayer. I become a person of action and retribution, and I'm going to get you, and how dare you? David says, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And what's crazy is I think the things I'm doing is what God would want me to do. But yet God says, listen, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Because here's the deal. We can't control all the things that everyone else may do. But we can control what we do in response. Some of you know this, some of you don't. I have a really cool opportunity. It's going to start here in a couple weeks, actually. My son goes to a little Christian school called Summit Classical Academy. He goes there with Emily and Christopher Pfeiffer as well. It's a great little school. We really enjoy it. And I'm going to be coaching the baseball team. It's going to be pretty cool. I'm excited about it. It's going to be neat to be kind of with some sixth, seventh, and eighth graders again. I'm going to kind of basically put on a baseball cap to coach, but trust me, I'm going to also kind of put on, back on the youth pastor hat a little bit, and it's going to be really cool. And one of the things I'm going to help them understand is this, because I remember being told when I was playing, you know, you can't control the umpires. You can't control basically, you know, who's pitching and who isn't. You can't control a lot of things, but you can control heart and hustle. You can control those things. You can try the very best you can, and you can hustle, and you can do those things. You can do that. Listen, when it comes to our Christian walk sometimes, you can't control the umpires. You can't control who's pitching, who isn't, who's hitting, who isn't, the weather, all those types of things. But you can control your heart and your hustle. Sometimes we need to understand that prayer for us is basically looking at God and saying, I'm going to give you everything I can. I'm going to give you all that I am. And I'm not going to do it by trying to do your job, God, by defending myself, because God says he'll do that for us. I'm going to get on my knees. I'm going to become a person of prayer. I'm going to do those things. So here's the deal. Here's something to understand that you need to get into your heart, not just today, but throughout the rest of your life. Listen, if you need help, become a person of prayer. If you need healing, become a person of prayer. If you need freedom from bondage, become a person of prayer. If you need direction, become a person of prayer. Become a person of prayer. And here's the deal. Don't let the world, don't let the circumstances, don't let the things that happen keep you from becoming that type of person. God called us to do that, and he wants to help us to do that. So this morning, as we look here at day 22, I want to give you basically three commitments that we should be making concerning prayer. Three commitments that can start today and go out throughout the rest of the year until we get to 21 days of prayer in 2027, okay? Some ideas about prayer that we need to get and we need to remember. And I want to challenge you, and I'm challenging myself too, because I'll be honest with you, sometimes I don't want to do these things. I know this may come as a shock to you. It probably shouldn't. But there's times I don't want to pray. There's times where literally I've been dealing with stuff, and my wife will look at me in a loving way and say, have you prayed about it? And I'll grind my teeth and go, probably not. We can all make these commitments. We can all allow these things to be something that transforms our life throughout this year. So number one. Application. Number one, I will pray urgently. I will pray urgently. Listen to Psalms 86. Again, David is writing this psalm, 86 verses 5 through 6. It says, oh Lord, you are so good. Love that. Lord, you are so good. So ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Listen closely to my prayer, O Lord. Hear my urgent cry. Urgency is something that we need to have a part of our prayer life. Now, here's the deal. When we pray urgently, we're understanding that in a lot of ways, God may not see our prayer as urgent as we do. Okay? Like we'll say, oh, Lord, I need this now. I need it right now. And God sometimes will say, you know what? I'm going to do that, but not yet. That's when we can trust his timing, trust that he knows. But here's the deal. That doesn't change the urgency that we need to pray with in our hearts. Listen, you look at our world, you look at the situations that are going on, man, we got to pray. We need to pray now. Urgency with understanding. And understanding that, you know what, God, we need you to act. We need you to do something. Listen, when we pray for people that don't know who Jesus is, or have a very bad understanding of who Jesus is, because we know that if they would pass from this life to the next, they don't know who Jesus is. Listen, that needs to be an urgent prayer, because we don't know about tomorrow. And we can bring that to the Lord knowing that. So when we say that, we're not having a situation where we're distrusting the Lord. It's actually a prayer of trust in the Lord. Saying, God, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to pray in this way. I'm going to look at you to do something absolutely incredible. But God, even though I'm thinking it's urgent, I'm going to trust that you know how urgent it really, truly is. And allow him to do that. But here's the deal. Why do we do that? Why do we need to pray urgently? Okay, why is that a situation that we find ourselves in? A couple things to remember when it comes to praying urgently. We pray and we need to pray urgently because we have a persistent enemy. We have a persistent enemy. Okay, he is urgent in his work. And yet sometimes we as believers think we got all the time in the world. Do you realize that he understands sometimes better than we do that time is short? Look around and see the world that we live in. And I don't know, listen, I grew up in the church. I always had people saying, listen, Jesus is coming back and he's coming back soon. And I know sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes you hear that and you kind of turn your ears off because you heard that so many times. And here's the deal. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I do know this. It sounds silly to say it, but it's pretty obvious, but he's closer to coming back today than he was yesterday. He is. Now, again, I'll be honest. I hope it's today. I don't know if it is. But listen, we need to pray with the urgency that it could be. I love how Jesus will talk about these things. And he basically kind of communicates this concept of, listen, you don't know the day or the hour. And because you don't know the day or the hour, maybe we should be praying urgently for the coming of that day and for as many people to know Jesus as possible. Because the enemy is persistent and the enemy is doing all that he can to destroy lives. Listen to what 1 Peter says. It's very simple. It's very easy. We've seen this verse many times. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's persistent. He's after it, are we? And here's the deal that we need to understand. We don't fight against flesh and blood, do we? How do we fight? A lot of times on our knees in prayer. So you got a persistent enemy that's doing all he can to destroy. We need to be urgently on our knees in prayer to fight against the things that he is bringing against people and our world. But not only that, but we also pray urgently so that we can guard our hearts. So that we can guard our hearts. Because it's not just the enemy is out there seeking those people. He's in here trying to seek these people too. So prayer is one of the ways that we guard our heart. I love this scripture in Nehemiah. It's such a great story, a great idea. But listen to what Nehemiah says here in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse number 9. It says this, as they are rebuilding the city and the walls and everything, he says, but we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Okay, so in the story here, I don't have time to get into it too much. They're rebuilding the walls and other countries and other areas and other peoples are basically don't want them to do that. And they know God has called them to do that. And so basically they post these guards and basically some people are fixing up the walls. Some people are guarding it. But when I read this verse, it's one of the things I think that we need to understand here. It says, we pray to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Spiritual prayer, it posts a guard over our hearts. It posts a guard over our hearts. So basically, as we pray, basically we are saying, the enemy, you have no place here. You cannot come in here. And we allow that to take place. So not only do we pray urgently for the world around us, but we pray urgently for our own hearts, that God would keep us right and pure and help us in those areas. So number one, we need to pray urgently. Let's make that commitment as we go into day 22. But let's also make the commitment that I will pray earnestly. I'll pray earnestly. Earnestly is not necessarily a word that we use quite a lot in our vocabulary today. So I want to define it for you. Earnestly basically means this, with deep and sincere feeling, expressed in a serious and a determined way. Okay, listen. I'm not trying to tell you that how you pray matters, okay? Because here's what I mean by that. I've seen some people who, man, they get up and, man, they pray and they use big old fancy words and they talk really loud and they maybe have a booming voice and all these types of things. But at the same time, when you strip away all the stuff, there's not a lot of earnestness. There's not a lot of determination. It's all kind of fluff. And then I've had people that have walked up to me, real meek, real mild, and prayed over my life. I mean, and there is power in their prayers. This isn't about how to fake it. This isn't about how to fool everybody, because you're not fooling God. But this is about having an attitude and a determination that basically says, I am going to reach the gates of heaven, and nothing is going to keep me from doing so. Listen, I mean this in the sweetest way I can. Some of us need to stop being so sweet in our prayers. We are in a battle, folks. We're in a battle. And some of us, boy, we just, oh, Lord, thank you for this day. So wonderful to be here and just a part of. And again, I'm not saying that that's determined. But man, some of us need to say, you know what, Lord? God, I trust you, and I know no matter how dark this world gets, you are going to win. You are going to be victorious, and I trust you. And God, I bring these things to you knowing that you are going to answer, and you're going to do great and mighty things. Because he is. He is. And some of us, boy, the way we pray, it just, it's almost like we're trying to convince ourselves when we can stand on the promises of God, who says, I will hear you. I will respond to you. If you pray, I will heal your land. I will promise and do the things that I promised to do. And it's important that we understand that. Look at James 5. James 5, 16 through the second part of this verse is great. The earnest prayer of a righteous person. Now, here's the deal. Stop there for a second, because some of you are going to go, okay, I'm disqualified. Nope. Okay, we talked about righteousness last week. We talked about how that works. We talked about righteousness is following God and doing the very best you can, living in the right way that God has asked you to live. We don't have to do it perfectly because we're not going to, but to strive for righteousness. So here's what it says. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Do you know that? Do you know that your prayers can have power? And not just power over little things, but power literally over the enemy of your soul. That's right. Scripture tells us you resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist? You get on your knees. You pray. You pray. He will flee. The righteous prayer is powerful and has wonderful results. I know I've told this story before, but it's just such a perfect story for this situation, especially now, as I know so many people, thankfully we're not having this issue here, but I know so many people throughout the country are dealing with ice and they're dealing with snow, and obviously it's cold here, but man, it could be a lot worse really from what a lot of people are dealing with. And I remember as a kid, I just started driving, and so I was kind of, because I'm the oldest, I became the taxi cab for my siblings. And I was driving mom and dad's minivan. Oh, yeah. Ford Astro Star. The ladies loved it, you know. No, I did not like that car. And I could tell you exactly where I was, heading to pick up my brother. On the road, I could take you there today. I know exactly where it is. And I'm driving that minivan down the road, and I hit some ice. And I started to spin. You ever been in one of those moments where the car just literally starts to do one of these? I'm 16 years old. I haven't been driving very long. I didn't know what to do. All that came out of my mouth was Jesus, 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 Jesus. And somehow that car stopped. I don't know how it happened because I know where I was headed and it was not going to be pretty. I just said, Jesus. I'll tell you what, that was an earnest prayer. That was a prayer that didn't, and you know what? It wasn't, well, now let's do this prayer thing. And I mean, it just, here it was. Powerful. Amen. Produces wonderful results. Amen. And I pray that you don't have to be in a situation where the car is spinning to call out to him and have an earnest prayer. You can do that at any time and at any moment. But know that, man, it's powerful. Look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse number 6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and check this out, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." You don't, it sounds kind of crazy, but in a weird way, I got rewarded that night. I didn't hit the guardrail. I didn't go in the ditch. I didn't destroy the car. And you know what? Our God loves to reward those that earnestly seek him, earnestly come after his heart, earnestly go in a way that basically says, "I am not going to let anything keep me." I always think back to the story of Jacob in the Old Testament, where he's wrestling with the Lord. And it's daybreak's coming. Daybreak is coming. They've been wrestling all night. And the angel says, "Release me," basically. And he says, "I will not release you till you bless me." For some of us, our prayer lives need to have that type of spiritual stubbornness. I will not let you go until you come and you bring the promises in your timing that you promised. Have that type of earnesty. Because here's the deal. The Lord, listen, the Lord loves that. He loves it. God, listen, you know, like you come to me, and I'll be honest with you, and I say, "Oh, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that," and maybe I'm not, you know, doing it as quickly as maybe you would like, and then you come to me and be like, "Well, you know, you promised you'd do this." You know, I'm going to get a little annoyed with you. I just probably am, you know? Okay, yeah, I get it. God's not that way. When you bring forth and say, "God, you promised that," he's like, "Yes, I did. You just wait and see. I got it. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of you." So pray earnestly. Number three, last one to make the commitment. I will pray frequently. I will pray frequently. Not just when things are going poorly. Not even when just things are going great. But I will make the commitment this year to pray often, frequently. Listen to what it says in Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. The idea of steadfastly here is this idea of just keep on going, keep on going. It's almost like this idea of basically like you're in a race or you're in a marathon or you're in a long distance run or something of that nature. And this idea of steadfastness is not the idea of necessarily winning the race or speeding up in the race. It's just to keep on going. For some of us, we need to remember that even though our prayers haven't been answered yet, we need to continue steadfastly in prayer with the faith and the trust that God is going to answer, that he will respond to us. Look at this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5. It's a great verse. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You know, we talk about God's will a lot. And as a pastor, I've had people over the years, so many that come to me and they, "Oh, well, I just want to hear God's will. I want to know God's will." And here's the deal. There is a specific God's will for you as a specific individual. But there is also a general will of God. This verse talks about that. It talks about what God's general will for his children is. And here's the deal. If you want to hear what God's specific will for your life is, start with the general will. Because here's what I found. When you begin to live into the general rule or the general will of God's will for your life, you will find it much easier to hear the specific will for your life. You see, a lot of us, we get this out of order. We go to God and say, "Should I take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I move to this place? Should I do all these things?" And we're not doing the general will stuff, and we're having a hard time hearing what God's specific will is. So let's look at this together. What is God's general will for his children, as we see in this verse? Number one, rejoice. Praise. Allow your life to be a life that calls out to God and basically shares with him how awesome he is. Rejoice. Be a joyful person, not because your situations are perfect, but because you have a God that is. So we rejoice in that. We choose joy, no matter what our situation might be. Number two, we pray continually. Okay, now here's the deal. There's like this idea, okay, what does that really mean? You know, it's like, does that mean that I'm like walking around and just all the time in prayer and all these sort of things? Listen, as much as that would be awesome, that's not realistic, and that's not what Paul is trying to get us to understand here. What he wants us to see is that prayer, although there are times, and there should be times, where we kind of get away and spend time in prayer focused on God and focusing on those moments and those times. So a lot of times people will kind of communicate that with the idea of your prayer closet, even though you don't necessarily have to go into the closet to do so, okay? It's kind of setting a time, you know, I'm going to spend this time in prayer and focusing in on God. When Paul says to pray continuously, he's basically just simply saying this: when you leave that time, don't leave God. So you pray continuously. You keep an ongoing conversation with the Lord. That's what it is. You know, you get outside this morning, you're scraping the that keeps falling. You're scraping the windshield, and you have a choice to make. You can rejoice or you cannot rejoice. But you also have something else you can do. You can thank God that you just slept in a home that kept you warm last night. That hopefully you're going to get into that car and the heater works, you know? And you can say, Lord, I know this isn't fun. I'm not loving scraping this stuff. But you know what, Lord? Thank you so much that you've provided for me and my family. You are so good. God, I love you and I thank you. Here's the deal. Here's something you need to understand. There is also room and great value in every moment of the day fellowship with God. Listen, and this is something you need to understand about Sundays or Wednesdays or your quiet time. Because some of us make this terrible mistake. We leave God there. It's almost like we take our little God and we put him on our shelf, and then we go about our day and about our business. Listen, I grew up being told, and I think it's a wonderful thing to be told, that I got to invite Jesus into my heart, that Jesus was with me all the time. I don't have to leave him on my shelf. I don't want to leave him on my shelf. I want him to go with me everywhere, because you know where? I go everywhere with me, and I don't know what I'm doing. I want him there. I want there to be this every moment of the day fellowship with God. Not just when the car is spinning, but when I get into it and I get out of it, and all those types of things. And then the last one, which obviously all flows together, is gratitude. Gratitude, just being thankful for all God has done, all that God is, all that God is going to do. So if you're looking for specific God's will, I have a simple question. Are you doing general God's will? Are you rejoicing? Are you allowing the joy of the Lord to be your strength? Are you having a every moment type of relationship and communication with God? I mean, think about this for a second. Going back to that idea. How well do you think my marriage would be if I said, you know what, Em? Well, I really love you. Just so you know, 8 o'clock to 8:30 is your time. Lucky you. But 8:30, I'm out. I'll see you tomorrow morning. How well do you think the marriage would go? First of all, she'd kill me. But listen, we kind of have that kind of idea, don't we, sometimes with the Lord? You know, we ask things like, well, how's your quiet time? Great question to ask. Better question, how's your walk with the Lord? Because here's the deal. If you're walking with the Lord, there's going to be some quiet time. There's going to be some quiet moments. But I love the fact that the Lord goes with us at all times. And then finally, the idea of gratitude, just being thankful for all that he has done. When we look at these things, when we decide to make these commitments that we're going to pray urgently, we're going to pray earnestly, and we're going to pray frequently, that is something that as we move here and as we are in day 22, and as we can continue to do that, God's going to continue to move. He's going to continue to do great and mighty things in us and through us. But here's the thing you need to understand. Here's something that David wants you and I to understand. It was something that he figured out. And to do that, we're going to go back to our original text back in Psalms 109 and look at it a little bit differently. You see, as he kind of finishes our section, he basically says this: but I give myself to prayer. Here's the concept. Here's the thing you need to understand about that. when you go back and you look at the original Hebrew, it's very somewhat difficult to translate. This is not an incorrect translation. It's just a word that is difficult for us in English to understand, if that makes sense, okay? And so if you look at this, sometimes what your Bible will have is a little letter next to it. And if you look at that, you can see that this actually, when you go back and look at the original Hebrew, it means something a little bit more potent than just simply that I give myself to prayer. In the original Hebrew, the words literally mean, I am prayer. I am prayer. What's David saying here? He's just like basically, look, going back, he says, all the stuff in this world, all the things that people are doing to me, all the theys that are out there doing all the things, and although those things are happening, I will literally become prayer. David is basically saying, prayer is not something I do, it is who I am. You want to keep the zeal. You want to keep the spiritual fervor. You want to continue to allow God to do great and mighty things day 23 and day 42 and all the way through the year. We don't just pray. We literally say, that's who I am. Question that all of us need to answer. Because some of us, maybe we've grown up in church and we've experienced church. We know I should pray. It's important. I get that. Yes. But this is bringing this to a different type of level. This is basically, as Scripture says, getting you a little bit off the milk of the word and on the meat of the word. You see, we can pray. And in fact, millions and billions of people do. But that's not what David is communicating here. That's not what I want us to be. I want us to literally become who we are. Not something simply we do, but who we are. Is your prayer life like that? Have you understood that concept? Because here's the deal. When we finish 21 days of prayer and fasting, I know what typically can happen in our hearts and in our lives. Now, as we kind of take the foot off the gas a little bit, it's like, okay, wow, whew, we made it. Oh, it's day 22. I can have lunch again or sweets again or check my feed again or whatever you fasted over the last couple of days. And all of a sudden, it's like all of a sudden, instead of hitting that gas and pushing even faster into what the Lord has for us, we kind of take our foot off the gas. Hear me. Today is not the day to take your foot off the gas. Today is not the day to slow down in your understanding and in your growth of who Jesus is. Today is the day. Day 22 is to be like, you know what? I got this car warmed up, and now it's ready to roll. Because here's the deal. There's 365 days a year. Well, I guess unless there's a leap year or something. I don't know the math. Some of you are real good at math, and I'm sure you can come up with this real quick. I can't. 21 days, a pretty small percentage of 365. Hear me here. Hear my heart in this. 21 days of prayer and fasting is important. But it's not just to do it and then to say, wasn't that great? Wasn't that awesome? Now let's go back to the way things were. It's to allow the next set of days to be days where we allow God to do even more. 21 days of prayer and fasting, if you haven't known this, is not about the 21 days. It's about preparing your heart and my heart for what God wants to do throughout the rest of this year. Amen. I truly believe that as we have prepared ourselves, we're going to see things that God does, that ways God uses you and me in maybe September that would not have come to pass if you hadn't prepared yourself during this 21 days. And maybe there's some things that aren't going to happen if you don't continue to prepare yourself, continue to be ready for the things that God has called you to do and be. And one of the ways that we continue, especially when we've stopped the fast, is we pick up the prayer. Now is not the time to say, okay, we're done. Now is the time to say, although maybe the fast is over, the prayer is going to ramp up even more. Because I'm excited about what God is going to be doing. Because he promised he'd hear my prayers. And he promised he'd act. And I can trust that. I can trust that. Would you bow your heads? Let's close your eyes. Let's focus here. And I know anytime we talk about prayer, it can be very easy to kind of be like, I get it, Aaron. I get it. I understand. I need to pray. Pastors have been telling me that for hundreds of years almost, and Sunday school teachers, yeah, I know. It's important. I get it. And I'm glad that you understand the concept. But really, what I believe the Lord is asking us this morning is not simply, do you pray? I think the Holy Spirit is basically asking, are you prayer? Is it literally who you are, not just what you do? Is prayer your first resort or your last resort? Do you bring things? Listen, and I think it's great that we bring things to each other, but when life gets hard and things don't go the way they should, do you go to someone or do you go to the one who created you and wrote every day in his book? Who do you go to first? Like these are some of the questions that can help us understand if prayer is simply something that is more of a religious obligation or something that really defines us and defines who we are. You see, sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to help us answer these questions so that we can truly know what God would call us to do and call us to move towards. Are you prayer? And not prayer simply because you know, quote unquote, you're supposed to do it, but because you want to do it. Because you desire that communication with your Jesus. Because you desire to share your heart with him and allow him to share his with you. You know, listen, I'm going to be real honest with you. You're not going to find it easy to become prayer if all prayer is to you is a list of demands. Or not even a list of demands, just a list of God, do this, God, will you do that? And here's the thing. God asks us to do that. He tells us, bring your needs. But I've just learned from my own experience, when I turn God kind of into Santa Claus, my relationship with him suffers. Because God is more than what he does for us. He is the great and mighty God. He is so good and great and would be that way no matter if he did nothing else for you or me from now to the rest of eternity. The fact that he is going to do those things, he wants to do those things, is a proof of how good he truly is. But to become prayer, listen, we need to fall in love with the person that we're praying to. We need to desire him above all other things. And to allow the joy of prayer to not be the answer to the prayer, but to understand how awesome it is that the God of the universe invites us to spend time with him in this way. And here's the thing. As we move into day 22 and 23 and so on, as the fasting for a lot of us maybe has stopped, let's commit to become prayer this year. Let's commit that when the world seems to spin or we sit down at the computer and somebody has put something up that has angered us or frustrated us or mischaracterized our faith or whatever it is, and man, we want to respond. We want to sit down, oh, you don't understand, and you're doing this wrong, or you're doing this, or we're having a conversation with somebody else, and this is happening, and we get those feelings kind of bulging up in our hearts, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to just want to respond. I just want to set them straight. That we would remember that in Psalms 109, David could have done the same, and he just simply said, I will become prayer. I will pray for them. I will pray for me, and I will pray to the God who loves me above all. And in that, allow him to transform my heart. That's what's going to change this world. When people once again acknowledge that there's only one God that can fix it, and to ask him to do so, and to start with our own hearts. So is that you? Do you desire to not just pray this year, but to literally let it be who you are? Because if that's the case, God can help us. That's my desire. That's my hope. I don't want to just pray. I want to let it to be who I am. And if that's you, let's ask the Lord to help us with that as we move on and experience him throughout this year. Father, we love you and we thank you. And God, you're so good. You're so good. And Father, in a moment like this, God, when we're kind of moving out of a fast and out of a real focused prayer time, God, it can be so easy to kind of allow the things that we've kind of said no to kind of rush back in and kind of take our hearts away again and kind of take our focus away again. And God, I just pray that although it's good to allow some things to come back in our lives, that we would still not allow them to overtake you. That we would not allow them to overtake time spent with you, whether in your word or in prayer or just being in your presence. And that, Father, we would literally this year, that you would make us not people of prayer, but people that are prayer. And that in that, Father, you would change our hearts to become more like you. That our hearts would be more like Jesus. And that you would do an amazing work in us and through us as we give this entire year over to you. We love you. We thank you. You're so good. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So listen, thank you all so much for being here. Obviously, we're going to be moving into our time with the youth. And if you have time and you would like to stay for spaghetti, man, we would sure love to have you. It's going to be a great time. And just want to make you aware of that. For those that are online, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. Hope that you're doing well wherever you are. And for the rest of us that are going to stay here, we're going to have a great time celebrating together and celebrating the end of our fast and also celebrating God's using Pastor Renee and Pastor Sarah to do some great work with our youth. So hope you have a great time. Hopefully you'll stay. If not, have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.